I do think it's a real conversation about what's best for the Browns. I think more often than not, you would like to have your best players on the field at the same time as soon as you possibly can. But there's just a lot of new with the Browns. And I also think, I think there's this idea that when Nick Chubb comes back, that his role's going to change, that we're going to get a smattering of Nick Chubb, and that is basically the first couple weeks he's going to be back are going to be a testing ground for whether or not he can go back to carrying the rock 15 to 20 times a game, or whether he's going to become more of a 12 to 15 touch a game guy. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of think if Nick Chubb is this far ahead and I kind of think we should start expecting Nick Chubb to be back at some point to being Nick Chubb. As I've said, I'm no longer giving in to people who are like, I'm going to be cautious about this. No, I'm not betting against Nick Chubb. Now, all this being said, we ask the question, as a fan, are you more comfortable sitting Nick Chubb the first four games? And the idea behind that is giving him more time to get up to speed to be full Nick Chubb. Or is this more about the confidence in week one? Is it more about the only way I can be confident about this team against, or this offense, more importantly, against Dallas in those first couple games, is that all tied to Nick Chubb? Because Nick Chubb, let's be honest, guys, he's always been our whoopee. He is. Like, in the same way that, you know what? I don't know, it's going to be a great offensive line, but if Joe Bitonio is out there, I guarantee you it's going to be the best it can be. Because I trust that guy. And specifically, I trust that guy on the left side of the line more than I trust the left tackle he's played with the last 4 years. Bacon of War Gaming on Twitter. Twitter reactions on X. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland Smear Jewelry Store, saying, having Nick Chubb week one will give me hope, especially with our barely top 30 quarterback. So it might be training camp, but Bacon of War Gaming is in full regular season mode already with his thoughts on Deshaun. Again, that I don't have a problem with that. Hey, Deshaun said today he doesn't give two bleeps what anyone thinks about him. Can somebody just get to Deshaun? Is that PR guy who's trying to pay people to say nice things about, is he still out there? Can you just tell Deshaun, when you go out of your way to tell people how little you care about what the consensus thinks or the noise, and by the way, I hope it's true. I do hope it's true. I hope Deshaun, at this point, has gone through this ringer. A lot of it seems to have been self-administered, but I do hope that Deshaun comes through this with a better perspective. Guys, when I took the night show, I knew I was a sensitive little bee. And so, how is Nick Wilson doing, which we did at 11:20, can't remember which day of the week, I think it was Wednesday, where we searched my name on Twitter, and we asked what it meant for the Nick Wilson brand. That was a way of me conditioning myself to see what people say, because I'm not good. I don't know if you guys know this, people on social media are not nice. Yeah, they very rarely, there's no in between. It's like, you know, that Nick Wilson guy, I like when he messes around, but sometimes I don't like his sports takes. That'd be a very even-keeled analysis of me from you, the fan. No, he's a fat loser and I hope he dies. Or, I think this guy invented radio. There's really no in between on social media. So I hope that Deshaun is right. But anytime you say, I don't give a bleep about what people, or two bleeps, he said two bleeps, it probably means you give at least two bleeps. Now, moving back to Nick Chubb here, I think there's just unknowns. Obviously, Nick Chubb's health is unknown. Obviously, Deshaun's health is an unknown. But I think if you look through the last 2 years, and specifically the last year, I think some of the reason why Kevin Stefanski tried to keep a lot of the Kubiak West Coast offense quarterback under center, and then just marry some concepts, right? Oh, here is this shotgun spread kind of package here, and here's this one, and here. I think some of that actually probably was in the mindset of making sure you were still putting Nick Chubb in a situation where he's been, and it's not even most successful, he's had success in every kind of way. But in every kind of, he's been good out of the shotgun. He's been good as a single back. He's been good. I can't remember the last time I saw him play an I formation, but he's been good out of that. There's really not been one formation I think I've seen Nick Chubb struggle out of. But yet, a bulk of his time in the NFL has come with a quarterback under center in this West Coast offense where he's getting the ball a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage, or he's getting the ball from a different point in the field. I think that is a huge unknown, whether there's going to be ways, well, basically whether if you're Kevin Stefanski, you're still going to try and balance those two things. I also think the offensive line's an unknown. I know we got Joel coming up in 32 minutes. I think what's been really interesting is to hear people talk about the new offensive line coach, the new offensive line regime, and what that means for the Browns. Because I'll say it, for a team most of the time in the last 5 years, after year one with Kevin Stefanski, there was a lot of known. There was, right? You kind of figured out Joe Woods, and for those first 3 years, you kind of knew who Joe Woods was. You knew what to expect from his defense, even if you didn't know what quality to expect from his defense. But like, you knew what to expect from the offensive line, whether it was scheme or basically it's the fix-all, it's the Band-Aid. If Bill Callahan was your O-line coach, you could say, well, I don't know if Nick Harris or Ethan Posick can be a good center in the NFL, but I'm going to give Bill Callahan a shot. AVP. Well, I don't know what he does because he doesn't call plays, but I know he's got the ear of Kevin Stefanski, and I know what the offense is going to look like with those two guys at the helm. Last year, the first big change we saw with Kevin that wasn't shooing Baker Mayfield away was the Jim Schwartz hire. And so the way we're talking about the offense this year is the way we're talking about the defense last year. I knew a little bit more about the wide nine, having loved that in Philadelphia once upon a time and Tennessee once upon a time. But like, so I knew what it should look like, but who was going to prosper? Like, I was hopeful for JOK. Guys, nobody saw JOK becoming somebody that was rated the sixth best linebacker in the NFL last year in one season in Jim Schwartz's defense. I was bullish on the dude getting back to who he had been as a rookie. I didn't know he was going to be that good. So I didn't know how the corners were going to look. I didn't know you had enough safeties to make it through the year. Grant Delpit prospered, got a contract extension halfway through the year. I think the offensive line is probably the biggest I don't know that is a double I don't know. So with Deshaun, I'm actually reasonably confident that I've talked myself into the fact that, well, Deshaun seems to be progressing. Deshaun actually talked about that a little bit today, saying every day's a milestone and other cliches. But like, I'm pretty confident Deshaun's going to be able to at least be healthy in September coming out of the gate. I'm pretty confident that at some point this season, Nick Chubb is going to be able to be on the field and maybe surprise people. I actually thought the Morning Boys, Lima and Danny, had a great conversation about comeback player of the year the other day. And they were talking about Deshaun Watson maybe being that guy this year. And I thought it was a great conversation about that's a sympathetic award. Will Deshaun get sympathy because he's coming off an injury, that kind of stuff. I think the clear winner, if there's a comeback player of the year award, it's going to be Deshaun. I'm pretty sure Deshaun is going to be okay. Even if it's not, or Deshaun, I'm pretty sure Nick Chubb is going to be fine this year, even if he isn't 1,500 yards a year Nick Chubb ever again. I have no idea what to expect from the offensive line. I know that they've got at least six talented dudes who I really think are just good offensive linemen. And you got three tackles I really like. You've got three interior players that at points have been the class of the NFL. And I actually think, there's about 16 or 17, maybe 18 offensive linemen in camp. And if you look at them, there's a lot of experience. Like, they drafted Zach Zinter. They got the kid from Ohio State 2 years ago, the interior offensive lineman, who I think maybe sets up as Poshick's replacement one day. You've obviously got DeJuan Jones. You've got the kid, the international kid that was signed after the draft, who's going to take, if he makes the roster, will be take up basically not a roster spot because he can take up an international slot. There's a lot here. But I don't know what these guys look like without Bill Callahan. And I don't think the last 4 years of success on the O-line is all about Bill Callahan. I think Joe Bitonio was a pretty damn good offensive lineman before Bill Callahan showed up. I also think Jack Conklin was a damn good player in Tennessee before he signed with the Cleveland Browns the year that that Bill Callahan came here. I also doubt, I'm intrigued. There's no doubt here. I'm intrigued whether it was Bill Callahan's decision to draft Jedrick Wills over Tristan Wirfs. One of those two players has become an elite level left tackle, and it has not been Jedrick Wills. Wills went 10, Wirfs, I think, went 13th or 14th. Now, that being said, there's also a part of me that goes, maybe Jed Wills will be like Wyatt Teller. Maybe both these guys will have a different relationship with their O-line coach, and maybe that'll lead to better play from them. But I don't think I can assume the O-line is actually going to be better without Bill Callahan, because Andy Dickerson has a good reputation around football, and Bill Callahan's reputation as an O-line coach, as just an offensive coordinator, as the whole damn thing, is beyond reproach. Andy Dickerson can be a good offensive line coach, and you could still suffer because Bill Callahan is elite. And we're going to play some of the Wyatt Teller stuff here about, you know, he's excited for this season. I actually do, like, getting back to the I don't know. I don't know how much going from one to another is really going to change that much. I also don't know that changing offensive line coaches at a pivotal point in 33, 34-year-old Joe Bitonio's career, I think Wyatt's going to be 30 this year. Jack Conklin's probably in his last year here. If he doesn't get dealt like before the season, if somebody makes an offer, if somebody needs a tackle, Jed could be in his last year. I'm pretty optimistic about the other I don't knows with the Cleveland Browns. The biggest I don't know, and I have no idea whether to feel positive or negative, is 100% the difference in offensive line coaches. Because it has been very rare with this set of guys that the five guys that start the season are the five guys that finish the season. So as long as those first five guys that I really like and really trust, or five of the six guys are out there playing, I'm going to have confidence. It's when all of a sudden we're playing Zach Zinter week eight, or when we're if DeJuan Jones has to sit on the bench for 6 weeks, and does he bulk up in not the best way? Like me, since coming home from North Carolina to Ohio.